It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we're going to talk about the history of beards in Wisconsin with historian Erica Janik.
Before that, we're talking teachers. It's the first day of school for lots of Wisconsin, and our guest says now is the perfect time to reevaluate how we think about teachers.
He's here to explain what he means and how we can change our perceptions about the educators in our community. Neil Heinen is with us. He's editorial director of Madison Magazine and WISC-TV. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob and Veronica.
So why do you think we need to change the way we think about teachers?
Well, public schools have been an issue that we've followed as an editorial board on the TV side for, you know, most of the 20 years we've been doing editorials. And Madison Magazine is also starting to pay a little closer attention to public schools and the quality of our schools. And as part of that, I've just been thinking about some of the challenges that our schools have faced. And over the years, this idea that teachers have become sort of political footballs, going back a few years, often with labor issues that were tough and sometimes were hard for communities to understand. But more recently, with things like Act 10, this idea that teachers are responsible for the failures of our kids and problems in terms of public servants, in terms of their salaries and benefits, have just obscured their contributions.
So, what are the contributions? What's the value of a teacher?
Well, you know, as I said in the column that I wrote, you know, some of the most important decisions I made in my life were influenced by teachers. And I suspect that that's true for a lot of people. Good teachers can profoundly affect our lives and the direction of our lives. But more importantly, you know, just the role of the modern teacher, of preparing kids to be citizens, of preparing a skilled workforce, of preparing kids to be global citizens. It's hard work, and they're really doing, by and large, quite a terrific job at it, and they do not get the credit and respect that I think that kind of work deserves.
Well, a lot of critics of the teachers' union will highlight it that way, saying teachers were fine with them. It's the union that was the target of Act 10. Is the battle over labor obscuring the day to day role of the teacher?
Sure, it is. And I'm not suggesting that. I wasn't really looking at it as dealing with the teachers' union. That's sort of a separate issue. I understand it's important. It plays a role, and I acknowledge that in my column, but as we look at some of the countries that are really doing a very good job of educating kids, and of course, Finland is sort of the hot pick right now as an exemplary country for public education. Those countries tend to hold teachers in high regard. Their status in the country is much different than their status here. And what I'm suggesting is that we start there. That we begin to look at teachers as innovators, and as I say in my column, even as entrepreneurs, that kind of thinking, the same kind of thinking we see in people, you know, starting up new businesses and creating these 21st century products and information. That's what teachers are doing in the classroom every day, and we could start thinking about them that way.
So how are teachers entrepreneurs and innovators? How does that function on the day-to-day level as they head back to school?
Well, you know, just for example, here in Madison, there's a relationship between Sherman Middle School and some of the folks over at Sector 67, the maker space on the east side. And the principal of Sherman Middle School and the teachers there just have embraced Sector 67 and Sector 67's willingness to have the kids come over and see how these young startups are creating new products and doing things. But just even approaches to education, I think that the teachers are much more creative, much more innovative than they're given credit for. And we should encourage that.
Well, do you think we do that now? I mean, you hear complaints from teachers sometimes, or people who observe schools. They're constrained by their administration, by state policy, by federal No Child Left Behind policies, sometimes by union rules maybe. Is there room for teachers to innovate and think of themselves as entrepreneurial teachers?
Well, you know, Rob, there probably isn't room right now, and there needs to be room. We just simply have to make room. There's a kind of an interesting conversation going on in Madison right now, but with some educators from around the state about whether or not teachers would benefit from having a place where they could go and share information and best practices, to use a hackneyed phrase, but to interact with each other and with other professionals in fields that might be complementary to teaching. Look at it as a teacher innovation center. And teachers and business people, people at the UW are talking right now about whether something like that would be of value to teachers. And I think the easy answer is that, yes, of course it would be, but teachers will need to be given the time to participate in something like that. But I think teachers would welcome the opportunity to have a place, perhaps in proximity to some other more, some of the creative professionals in the area, where they can explore different relationships and problem solving. One of the things we hear a lot about closing the achievement gap, for example, is the importance of teacher training and teacher support. And it seems to me that the schools that are doing the best work and doing the best job of closing the gap are the schools where teachers are sharing ideas about what works and working collaboratively in ways that I think, again, people don't view teachers as doing.
Do we get bogged down in a lot of the same educational debates we've had over the years, federal core curriculum or, phonics versus whole learning? And do those kind of old debates get in the way of new ideas that might completely sidestep some of those older concerns?
Yeah, I think absolutely they do. I don't have the solution to that, Rob. I wish I did. I mean, I'm trying to be a little provocative here and challenge people to change the way they think about the role of a teacher. Those debates about about curriculum, about even labor issues, those are going to need to happen. I mean, this is a profession, and it's going to take time for some of those to change. But I think if we looked at teachers differently, we'd look at some of those issues differently, and we wouldn't allow them to take over, to dominate the conversation about education and what we as a nation want for our schools and our kids.
So you've made this provocative argument that teachers need to be treated as or thought of as a higher status. They need to get more respect. Are you optimistic that that could happen in Wisconsin?
You know, this is pretty new. But yes, if we believe that things that happen on a small scale can expand on a larger scale, then I believe it can happen. I mean, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about what's going on in Madison schools right now. There's a new energy, there's a new excitement, and I have talked to teachers and I've talked to teacher union representatives about the new superintendent, about her approach, and about something else that I identify in the column that I think is kind of important, and that citizens who feel a little uncomfortable about how this whole debate has gone in the last few years. And using Act 10 as an example, I think that there are some people who just they may agree with some of the goals of it, but they don't agree with how it was done or how it has affected teachers. And I think there's some new interest right now in repairing that damage.
Right.
And so I think there could be some enthusiasm for, as I say, thinking about teachers differently, just in terms of the status of the profession.
Neil, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Neil Heinen, editorial director of Madison Magazine and WISC-TV.
Coming up, Erica Janik fills us in on the legacy of beards here in Wisconsin. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.